Turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6. Reading two verses of Scripture, 41 and 42. This is day 7 of our 21-day fast. And you said, Brother Doss, I didn't get in on it. Somebody talked to me Wednesday night and said, you know, I missed the start of it. I said, you've not missed the start. You can just jump in anytime. Right. Never too late. Can you say amen? Touch your neighbor and say, it's never too late. We're not asking you, I'm trying to tell you how to fast. Just encourage you to follow the Lord as we are in this time of corporate fasting and praying. We do this every year. Not out of habit or out of ritual, but under the Lord's direction, can you say amen? And we are believing for God to do great things, not only within our church and our community and beyond, but in our individual lives as well. You said, Brother Dawes, I've had several folks that have started coming recently and said, Brother Dawes, I don't know a whole lot about fasting. I can share with you some good resources. Jensen Franklin has a good book on fasting. If you would like that book, if you'd see me after service, I'd be glad to put that book in your hands. I only have a few of them, but I can get a few more. Can you say amen? And but the thing about it, we can read all about it all day long. We can study about it all day long because the effects don't happen until we actually do it. Can you say amen? I don't want to use a worldly term or a worldly jingle, but just do it. Amen. Amen. I didn't want to use it, but used it anyway. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 41. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, and when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for what you desire to do here today. God, I thank you for your presence we feel here in a tremendous and powerful way. Your love is enough, Lord. It's more than enough to handle anything we face or going through today if we'll just turn it over to you. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our lives and our minds will be open. Lord, I pray that you'd just help your servant to speak what you've laid upon our heart. But God, I pray that fear and distractions will be set out completely, that we may focus on you, that you can have your will and your way in our hearts and our lives, in this house today, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you need a title, we're simply working on, a series called Sharpen Our Senses. And today we'll be talking about our spiritual sight, or looking within. Now, if you need a more Alabama term, it's checking for planks and specks. Hello. As we are in this time of fasting and praying, seeking the Lord, looking for Him to accomplish and do tremendous things in and through our lives, seeking to draw closer to Him, believing for greater things in our lives, our families, our church, our finances, our community and beyond, possibly looking for strongholds to fall, chains to be broken, fears and doubts to be overcome, on and on. As we are looking for God to work in so many areas of our life, the first place we begin to look and see what needs to be done is within. No matter who we are, the first place we need to look to see what needs to be done is within. We kind of started this as I read a quote out of one of those fasting books by Abraham Lincoln. He says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe. In other words, before we can begin to knock out things out here, we got to begin to take care of things right here. Can you say amen? And that's kind of developed into our theme for this time of prayer and fasting called Lord, Sharpen Our Senses. Jesus is teaching in Luke chapter 6, basically he is saying this. Before you try to help someone else, Before you try to help someone else, be sure you first see and take care of the things that may be in your own life that need to be removed and worked on. Before we truly can help others, we must first be able to see clearly ourselves. Can you say amen? For this time of prayer and fasting to have its full effect, for God to be able to fully reveal His blessings, His purposes in our lives, we must begin by looking within. Lord, sharpen our senses, sharpen our spiritual eyesight. Lord, let us begin to look within. Jesus kind of reflects. He says, you know, too many times we are good at looking at others. Can you say amen? It's talking about judging here a little bit or a lot. But too many times it's easy to look at others. Can you say amen? Too many times we try measuring our lives or our walk with the Lord or spirituality by the lives of others. When we see somebody that's really walking close to the Lord and really serving the Lord and really God doing tremendous things in our lives, sometimes we can feel a little intimidated. Sometimes you say, you know, I'll never be where they are spiritually. Well, that's a wrong view. Can you say amen? God didn't ask you to walk like they walked. He asked you to walk like He wants you to walk. Can you say amen? He didn't ask you to fulfill their purpose. He asked you to fulfill, let Him fulfill His purpose in your life. Can you say amen? But then the other turnabout is true, and that's kind of what Jesus deals with. It's easy to see others' shortcomings and deficiencies and say, you know, I'm glad I'm better than them. So I must be doing all right. We read that account that Jesus talked about the two men praying in the temple, the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector. The Pharisee said, I'm glad I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I do this and I do that. I'm a wonderful person. Just ask me. That's kind of paraphrase. Amen. But Jesus said the tax collector prayed thus within himself. See, the Pharisee was comparing his walk with the Lord by this other man. But Jesus said the tax collector just got along with God, said, whoa, be merciful to me, O God, a sinner. Now, in the public's eyes, they would have probably said, yeah, the Pharisee's a better man. But in Jesus' eyes, when he was not only looking at the outward appearance, he was looking at the heart. He said, I'm going to tell you that the tax collector went home justified rather than the other man. The tax collector went home in right relationship, and he went home differently rather than the other man. Can you say amen? We don't need to look at the speck in our brother's eyes until we first deal with the planks or the specks in our own eyes. There's an account at the end of the book of John that's a great example. Jesus finds the guys fishing and they come back to shore and Jesus has already cooked breakfast for them. And he's trying to reaffirm Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. He says, you know, feed my lambs. And Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. He said, tend my sheep. And Peter, do you love me more than these? And Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. You know my heart. He said, then feed my sheep. But then he goes on to say something else. He said, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and you went about where you wanted to go. He said, but Peter, when you're old, your hands are going to be stretched out and somebody else is going to gird you and take you where you don't want to go. Talking about what kind of death Peter was going to die. He said, but Peter, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter from this time to then, you've got to follow me. But Peter, instead of letting that be a somber moment, in John chapter 21, verse 20, let's see what it says. Then Peter, turning around, he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. He's talking about John, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, in other words, Peter's looking at John and said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? But Jesus said, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Peter, don't judge your walk by what John's going to do. Don't judge your life by what John's going to do. Your job is to keep your eyes and set on me and you to follow me. He tells him twice, you follow me. And we know Peter did that. See, too many times it's so easy for us to compare ourselves with others And that's just not wise. That's not good. We need to be, as the Lord told Peter, to keep our eyes focused on him. We get into trouble when we use what I call quote-unquote comparison Christianity. In fact, Paul told the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 12, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." We don't need to be like those that are claiming that they're all good and wonderful. And we don't need to compare ourselves with one another, because one another is not the standard. The world is not the standard. The Lord Jesus Christ and his word is the standard. Can you say amen? He says when we do that, when we compare ourselves between ourselves, then we are not wise. That's not the standard. Can you say amen? But if we're going to allow the Lord to sharpen our spiritual sight, we've got to begin looking within. Are y'all still with me this morning? Let's talk about looking within. Let's talk about sharpening our spiritual sight. This process begins with two: ourselves and the Lord. Now, you say, well, I'm glad I'm not in this. We're all in this. Hello. Touch your neighbor and say, we're all in this. Is there anybody perfect here? Raise your hand. I want to meet you. Notice I didn't raise my hand. I got my son. Hello. We must honestly and openly and realistically take a look in our lives. Now keep in mind, we're talking about we are wanting to draw closer to the Lord. We're in this time of prayer and fasting. We're wanting to see clearly, more clearly than we've ever seen. We were wanting to see the things of God and have a greater understanding, a greater movement of God in our hearts and our lives. But we want to be able to see the needs of others as clearly as well. Can you say amen? And in order to do that, we must look within, take a look at our own lives. Again, not according with our wants or the world's standards, but by the Lord's standards and his word. We must look at ourselves and our lives and our walk with the Lord. That's what Jesus said. He said, first, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly and remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. That's the part of the scripture the Lord really laid upon my heart. He said, first, we've got to do some looking within. Can you say amen? Yes. We've got to look within. We've got to say, Lord, what's going on in my life? We got to look at our own lives, our own walk with the Lord. In fact, Paul talking to the Corinthian church and talks to us today, tells it means the same thing for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Jesus said, it is our job to look in our own lives to see if there's a plank or a speck or something that's in the way. Jesus said, you first look. Paul, under writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, we've got to examine ourselves. Can you say amen? Amen. Not examine someone else and not examine their accomplishments or their deficiencies. We've got to examine ourselves to see as whether we're in the faith. The word examine there in the New Testament means to test, to scrutinize, to discipline. Lord, how does my life line up with your word? What are some things in my life that needs to be taken care of? It's always been like that, even in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, writing the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 40, he says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." Israel was in a tremendously backslidden state, and Jeremiah said, this is the answer, not only to fast and to pray, but searching out our lives, our hearts. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Even when we partake of communion, especially when we partake of communion, The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians there in chapter 11, he says, before we partake of communion, before we partake of the elements, the cup and the bread which resemble the body and the blood of the Lord, which are emblems of the body and the blood of the Lord, before we partake of that precious ordinance that we do in the church, before we partake of those precious symbols, we must examine ourselves. And when people don't examine themselves and they partake of that in the wrong fashion, you can look it up. He says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you and many are asleep. Doesn't mean they're not at all. It means they're dead. See, it's important that we examine ourselves. Can you say amen? Somebody says, well, I feel threatened. He's not wanting us to feel threatened. See, the goal is not to bring condemnation or judgment to ourselves. The goal is that I can draw closer to the Lord and see him more clearly. Can you say amen? That I can be all that he would have me to be. That I can walk in the place he would have me to walk. That's the part where the apostle Paul meant when he wrote, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How do we do that? How do we examine ourselves? How do we look inside? We do that by asking ourselves some very honest questions. Boy, that thing shut off just at the right time. We do that by asking ourselves some very honest questions. Keep in mind, we're not trying to make ourselves feel bad. Our goal is that we can see clearly, that we don't allow anything in our hearts and our lives to hinder God's work that he wants to do. Can you say amen? Here's a few questions, and I'm going to read them slowly. We're asking ourselves, is there anything I know in my life that's hindering my relationship with God? Is there anything that I know that's in my life that's hindering my relationship with God? Question number two. Is there any area I've been slack in? Brother Doss, I can tell right now I don't like these questions. You know what? I don't either. But if I'm going to be the person that he wants me to be, if I'm going to get to the place that he would have me to be, if I'm going to experience all the blessings and the fullness and the purposes and his will and his plans for my life, then I've got to have a realistic and honest evaluation of my own self. Can you say amen? Like I said, and the only thing, one of the biggest things that keeps us from doing this is a thing that starts with a P, ends with an E, and it's got ride in the middle. Called pride. Oh, I think I'm wonderful enough. Oh, there we go with that Pharisee, you know. But the scripture says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Let's get back to the questions. Number three, is there any area, and you may come up with some questions yourself, is there any area or areas that I'm weak in spiritually and I need his help in? We are asking ourselves this question. Number four, what are the areas that I struggle in? Here's a big question. What are some areas that I know right now that I know that I can do better in? Number six, are there any specks, planks, or problems I need to turn over fully to the Lord? I need to let go of. Boy, them units are running good. I can hear every one of them. Here's a big one. Are there any areas of unforgiveness, malice, or ill will in my heart or my mind that's hindering my walk with the Lord? Brother Doss, how'd you come up with these questions, Holy Ghost? See, before I can preach this message to you, I have to meditate on it for hours in preparation. And before I can encourage you to ask those questions, I've got to ask myself these questions. Because we're all in this together. Can you say amen? We've got to ask ourselves. That's what he said. First, remove the plank from your own eye. We've got to see, Lord, how's our perception? How's our sight? That's what Jesus was asking. He said, Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your own when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Lord, I want to make sure before I try to help somebody else that there's no planks there, that no specks there, no problems there. Keep in mind, it's not trying to have self-condemnation, but humbly seeking the Lord. Lord, what's some things in my life that needs to be fixed that I know of? Asking ourselves that. Then we must ask the Lord to take a look. Wow. Well, the first one's tough. This is real tough. Because when we ask the Lord to take a look, guess what? He will. Y'all have gotten real quiet. Hello. I hadn't said this in a long time. I love Pastor. Amen. Can I give you a praise report? Can I just give you a real quick praise report? We were talking about worship. Wednesday night. We were talking about sharpening our senses and making sure the axe is sharp. Had shoulder surgery a few weeks ago. And been in physical therapy. Man, they're doing tremendous jobs helping me. Wednesday morning, I couldn't lift my hand any higher than that right there. And that was good. Can do a lot of other things with it. But while we begin talking about worship, because we said sometimes you've got to begin to back off and you begin to just shut everything else off. You're going to have to turn the computer off. But then you got to back off and get alone with God and begin to worship. And as I began to lift my hands kept going up. I walked into physical therapy the other day. I said, let me tell you. I said, come here. I interrupted Miss Nan and what she was doing, her helpers. I was rude. And I had to apologize for being rude. But I said, let me tell you what the Lord did last night. Kip walked up to me after service Wednesday night and popped me on the shoulder and said, how's your shoulder doing? It's doing good. Hello. God's faithful, can you say amen? Hello, I got to get back to preaching. God already knows what goes on in our heart. He already examines our heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search their heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. He already knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows the condition of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits way better than we do and will ever know. If he already knows it, Brother Dawson, then why does he want us to ask him about it, to do it? When we ask the Lord to search our hearts and search our minds, when we ask him to show and reveal things in our lives that need changing, it reveals a sense of desire to draw closer to him. It reveals a sense that we want to walk in obedience to the Lord. It reveals a sense of trust and dependence upon the Lord. It reveals that we are acknowledged, that we want him to help us and show us how we can be the best child of God he would have us to be. It reveals that we want to experience the fullness of his person, the fullness of his blessing, the fullness of his presence. It reveals that we want to experience the fullness of his will for our lives. It reveals that, Lord, I want to draw close to you more than I ever have. Can you say amen? Amen. It reveals that, Lord, I don't want anything to come in between me and my walk with you. And all we've got to do is ask him. Psalms 139. Beginning of verse 23, the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Think about that word anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. That word anxiety there means disquieting thoughts. You ever had a disquieting thoughts just hindered your mind? Here's the thing we've got to understand. We're not asking God to let it be known to him. He already knows. He already knows all about it. You're asking God for him to take what he knows about our hearts and our lives and show us how to make it better with his help. God, show me what needs to be fixed. Show me what needs to be changed. Show me what needs to be set aside. Show me what needs to be improved. He says, lead me in the path of everlasting. That word lead me means to guide me, to govern me, to bring me to that place, to straighten me out, oh God. Psalms 26:2 says this. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. That word there means to test, to investigate, to examine. David is asking the Lord not only to search his heart, but his mind as well. But he uses a word in both of these psalms. Both of these psalms are psalms of David. He uses a word in both of these psalms, a three-letter word called try. Psalms 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me. Psalms 26, 2, examine me, O Lord, prove me and try me. That word try means to fuse, to refine, to purge away. God, take away the stuff that don't need to be there. God, purge me of anything in my heart, in my life, or my mind that doesn't need to be there. God, remove anything from my life that is hindering my walk with you. Here's a side note. David's claim to fame that he was known after a man, as a man after what? God's own heart. Both of these are Psalms of David. He said this more than in these two Psalms as well. Could it be that he became a man after God's own heart? His heart was fused with God's heart. Could it be that he was a man after God's own heart because he kept asking, God, search my heart. Search my heart. Show me the things that's hindering my walk with you. Was David perfect? Absolutely not. Did he make his life a mess by wrong choices? Absolutely. But guess what? Every time he turned his heart back to God, he said, God, search me, try me, show me, help me to get rid of those things that's hindering my walk with you, because I'm going to walk in a place with you that I've never walked before. Can you say amen? And all through the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, Jesus is listed as the Son of David, can you say amen? The seed of David. Even though he wasn't perfect, but because he had a heart for God, and he said, God, search me and try me and know my heart. How do we allow God to search our hearts? Once again, by asking him some open and honest and very humbly some very honest questions about our lives. Number one, Lord, is there anything that's hindering or getting in the way of my relationship with you? Well, Brother Dawson, I've just asked him that same question basically when I was asking myself. Yeah, but the thing about it, we've got to understand we're not God. His ways are higher than our ways. And the scripture says man looks on the outward appearance. Too many times we're so focused on the outward appearance, but God is looking where? He looks much deeper than we do. And he can see much more than we can. But he can heal and help much more than anything or anyone else ever thought possible. Can you say amen? Lord, is there anything that's hindering or getting in the way of my relationship with you? Number two, Lord, what are some areas that I need to work on in my life? Number three, Lord, am I fulfilling your will and purpose for my life? Well, here's a biggie. Number four, Lord, are others drawn to you through my life and testimony? Number five, Lord, how can I draw closer to you, even closer than I am now? Number six, Lord, are there some specks, planks, or problems in my life that I need to let go of, get rid of, lay aside, that's hindering my sight? Number seven, Lord, are there areas I need to trust you more in? The scripture says this. When we get real with God, he will get real with us. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 says this. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. See, the thing about it, we're not just seeking within for God to remove things in our life. We're seeking a closer walk with the Lord. We're seeking for God to have his way in a greater way in our hearts, in our lives. Can you say amen? Well, Brother Doss, I've been dealing with some of this, and I believe God understands. Well, we can make excuses all day long. But the scripture also says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I hold on to iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, I believe the Lord hears my prayers, but I know I got sin in my life. Well, you're wrong, because the scripture, God is not going to go against his scripture. That's a lie from the devil and a lie from the world. But he says, if you will call to me and pray, if he sees, if you know there's some things in your life, and if you're truly seeking the Lord to cleanse and restructure your life and to help you out and to remove those things in your life, then God, he said, you'll go and pray and I will listen to you. You will have the ear of the Almighty God. Can you say amen? And you will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. But here's the thing. All these questions we ask, whether ourselves or the Lord, are great. But guess what? If we ask the questions, look out. There may be some answers coming back. And when the answers begin to come, whether they come to ourselves or begin to come from the Lord, we must respond accordingly. Again, the whole point is this. It's not for the Lord's not trying to beat us up and bring condemnation on us. The Lord is trying to pull us in a closer relationship. He's trying to draw us to a closer place. He's trying to help us to remove the things in our hearts and our lives that don't need to be there so we can see more clearly, to be able to see him more clearly. Can you say amen? To be able to experience all that he intends for you and I to experience. That we can become all that he would have us to be. That we would be ready for his return. And guess what, church? He's coming back. Amen. That once we see clearly, we'll be able to help others in the strength of the Lord and lead them to the Lord. Well, I didn't think the Lord told us to do that. No, listen to what he said. First, remove the plank from your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. You notice there's another something in this scripture that where that needs to start at. Because Jesus over and over uses a term that talks about relationship. He's talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know what? It's got to happen within the body. Hello? Come on, somebody. And if it can happen in the body, then it can happen beyond. Can you say amen? Here's the principle in the text. I'm truly unable to really help someone else until I've not only looked within, but until I've allowed the Lord to cleanse, to heal, and to set me free from the things that don't need to be there. I want to say that again. I'm truly unable to really help someone else until I not only look within, but allow the Lord to cleanse and heal and set me free from the things that don't need to be there. Oh, but when I have done that, and when he has cleansed, when he has healed, when he has restored, then I can come up to my brother and sister in love and say, can I help you? Lord, sharpen our senses. Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Lord, reveal to me, show me things that don't need to be there. Lord, remove the specks, the planks, the problems. Heal the hurts, the pains, and disappointments. Cleanse me and set me free that I may see you more clearly, as well as the needs of others, and be able to be used of you. You talk about fasting becoming real. You talk about praying becoming real. That's when God begins to move. When all the hindrances are taken out of the way. And guess what? They're never on His end. They're always on our end. But here's the deal. The scripture says, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. When we ask ourselves those things, we get those answers that we know. And we ask God those things, and maybe some other questions, and we start getting those answers, and guess what? Then you've got to deal with them. Him that knows to do good and does not do it, it is what? But here's the thing, and I'm trying to move quickly. For some reason, too many times, we think this place up here called the altar is a place of judgment, is a place of condemnation, is a place of reproach. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie from the enemy. This is a place of healing. This is a place of repentance. This is a place of guidance and strength. This is where we need to be. Because let me tell you, the more that I'm willing to humble myself and bow right here, the more that I can stand out there and face the things the enemy and this world throws my way, can you say amen? And the more that God will be for us, can you say amen? Brother Kip, praise and worship team, church, would you just bow your heads very... Go ahead and stand. Thank you, Lord. Brother Doss, I was up at the altar last week. You know what? I'm up here several times during the week myself, and not just praying about the things of the church. Before I can begin to try to help others, I've got to say, Lord, help me with the planks in my own eye. This altar is open right now. But under the direction of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to begin to read these questions again. We ask ourselves, is there anything I know in my life that's hindering my relationship with God? Is there any area I've been slack in? Are there any areas?